Praise be Jesus Christ. In today's readings, the Epistle and the Gospel, it reveals to us or explains to us a few things about the two camps that exist in this world, or as St. Augustine would say, the two cities, the city of God and the city of the devil. In the one camp, we have our Lord, who is the head, who is the one in charge. And those who make up this camp are the souls who are in the state of grace. In the other camp is the devil. He's the one who is in charge of that camp, and it consists of the souls who are not in God's grace, those souls who are in the state of sin. And now the battle that occurs between these two camps is relentless and will not stop until the end of time. The devil seeks to win souls from our Lord's camp and bring them into his own. And our Lord seeks out souls who are presently lost and in the devil's camp and bring them into his own. And we see this, as I said, in the epistle and in the gospel. The epistle, first, is an admonition, a warning on the part of St. Peter to those who are in our Lord's camp, those souls who are in the state of grace, to be aware of the devil who is seeking their souls. St. Peter says, "Be sober and watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour." And so we need to watch that the devil not take us from our Lord's camp. Likewise, the gospel speaks to encourage those souls who are currently lost, those who are not in God's grace, by explaining to them the care which our Lord has, the lengths that he goes to in order to bring them into his own, where it talks about our Lord being like a shepherd who seeks out the one lost sheep, who leaves the 99 to seek the one who is lost, or like the woman in the house who seeks diligently after that lost coin. Now, we need to be aware that the devil, again, as I said, he doesn't tempt those who are already in his camp, but he tempts only those who are in our Lord's camp, that is, those souls who are in a state of grace. But the ones that he already possesses, those who are in the state of sin, that are already his own, he doesn't even want to bother. He doesn't want to touch. So he's not seeking, he's not striving like a roaring lion after them. I remember one time when I was in Italy, I walked into a photo shop, and there was a very immodest picture displayed on the wall. And I mentioned it to the store owner. I said, "You know, that picture is very immodest and it's really not appropriate. You know, there are people who come in here who don't want to see those type of things." And he looked at me as if I was the one with the problem. And he said, "Well, you know, I look at that and it doesn't do anything to me." Well, okay, I would say that man had arrived at a heroic degree of virtue if perhaps he were a daily mass goer, if he prayed the rosary every day. But if not, chances are he's simply not being tempted by the devil. St. John Vianney, we celebrate his year this year, the year of the priest. St. John Vianney was just recently made on the Feast of the Sacred Heart, the patron saint now not only of all parish priests, but the patron saint of all priests. So I take a little quote from him where he talks about this, that the devil doesn't bother with those who are already in a state of sin, but only those who are in God's grace. St. John Vianney says, So you will ask me, who then are the people most tempted? They are these, my friends, note them carefully. The people most tempted are those who are ready, with the grace of God, to sacrifice everything for the salvation of their poor souls, who renounce all those things which most people eagerly seek. It is not one devil who tempts them, but millions seek to entrap them. And this is precisely the experience that St. Augustine explains was his own. While he was living in a state of sin and away from God, far from God, he said he hardly knew what a temptation was. But as soon as he turned and converted and wanted to live in God's grace and live a holy life, he said he was assailed by temptations. And so the epistle then tells us how we are to deal with the devil who is prowling like a roaring lion. It tells us that we are to live soberly. We are to live in vigilance, to watch, and to be strong in our faith. St. Peter says, "Be sober and watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him strong in your faith." So again, be sober, watch, and be strong in your faith. When I think about this admonition of St. Peter to be sober, what comes first and foremost into my mind, unfortunately, are college students today. It's the first thing that comes to my mind. Because what goes on at the great majority of college campuses? Now I understand it's not just Friday and Saturday or even Sunday, but they start on Thursday evening to drink and to party and basically blow off classes on Friday, or they go and sleep or something, not pay attention. Again, they extend that weekend to enjoy the revelry as much as they can. And this is what St. Peter is admonishing us against. Be sober. Why? Well, first of all, because drunkenness damages our body. It's a sin against the fifth commandment. Our body is not our own. It belongs to the Lord. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit, and it's made in the image of Christ, the man who is, who all men are made after, according to his image and likeness. Adam was made after the image and likeness of Christ, even though he preceded him. God had first in mind the incarnation of his Son and made all other men according to his image. In fact, some of the mystics tell us that Adam closely resembled physically our Lord. And so we need to remember, for these reasons, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and made according to the image of Christ, that we need to treat it with respect. Secondly, we need to avoid drunkenness because we voluntarily, by getting drunk, we voluntarily impair the use of our reason and how often it leads to other sins. Above all, violence and sins against purity. Isn't that what we find on college campuses on weekends? Fighting and sins against chastity. Also, St. Paul expressly says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that neither drunkards shall they possess the kingdom of God. Again, we exclude ourselves. We place ourselves out of the camp of our Lord and into the camp of the devil. So we must be sober. Then St. Peter says that we need to watch. We need to be vigilant. We need to be wary of the devil's deceits and cunning, of anything that tends to draw us away from the path of virtue and towards the path of vice and sin. And finally, St. Peter says, we need to be strong in faith. Now, this is an admonition for all of those Christians who have denied some teaching of the church, okay, who show themselves to be weak in faith. You know, they deny the necessity of going to Mass on Sunday, the immorality of contraception, and, I can't believe it's necessary to say this, but the immorality of abortion. There are Catholics out there who are pro-abortion, or pro-choice, as they want to call themselves. Again, that is not being strong in faith. We must believe, and believe firmly, everything that God has revealed and that the Church teaches, if we are to avoid the snares of the devil. Now then we go to the Gospel, which talks about our Lord as the Good Shepherd who seeks out the lost sheep, and again in the image of the woman who diligently seeks after the lost coin. And this is meant to console those who find themselves away from God and in sin. You see, the devil wants to leave that sinner alone and not bother him so that he stays in sin up until the point of death. Then at the moment of death, he wants to throw all of that in their face and plunge them into despair so that they no longer hope for God's mercy and so that they no longer hope for God's salvation. So instead, the words of the Gospel should console and encourage those who find themselves in a state of sin. It should be a consolation to us to know that God desires our salvation even more than we do, that God seeks out the souls, as the saying speaks about the hounds of heaven who pursue souls in order to save them. St. Alphonsus, in reference to this, says that God treats man as if he were his God, that God loves us as if we were God's God. He does everything possible to save us. Now, St. Peter says that we should also humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all our cares upon him, because he cares for us. Again, more teaching of consolation. All of the difficulties that we have in this life, all of the temptations and trials that we have to undergo, just humble ourselves and put us under the mighty hand of God and cast all our cares upon him, because he cares for us like a loving father. And so we can live in this world in relative peace, knowing that God has care for our souls and knowing that he desires so ardently our salvation. We can live in relative peace, as St. Paul again teaches us, because all things work for the good for those who love God. And so we need to simply humble ourselves and love God, and everything else will take care of itself. Okay, be wary of the wiles of the devil and his deceits and trickery, and seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be given to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christus.